Thank you. So you can't hear the video.
I couldn't hear it from your stream, so I'm saying it from the page, and I'm gonna switch over.
Okay. All right. Dang it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man. I'm hearing it loud and clear here. That's crazy.
You're hearing a lot of what?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we could.
All right. Thanks.
So he can show me how he can do justice and how he can bring back our community. There's such a division in our city. And I believe Joe will be that glue to hold our city together. I am Stephanie Dixon Daniels, and I'm so much in our city for Joe
Welcome to the Afternoon Jams. Welcome to the Afternoon Jams, special edition of Afternoon Jams. I understand there was some audio problems. I was trying to play this video that Joe Lopez had posted, I think, yesterday. Amazing video, man. Joe, it gave me chills seeing that, man. Wow. It's bothersome knowing that all that occurred.
Yeah. Paul, hey, thanks for having me on. And yeah, when he first told me her story, because that's why I wanted to meet her first. I wanted to, you know about her story, because I had heard that they really couldn't get their story out, you know. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of in the news, busy is going on. They were trying to track this guy down, but a lot of people don't know the true story behind it. And this family has been victimized over and over and over again. Besides, I mean, you heard it. I mean, they were there when it happened. I mean, look, I don't wish that on anybody. Nobody wants to see their child or hear their child pass away before they do. I mean,
right.
But to see it and to see it in such violence, okay. And then what transpires after that, that's why I say the victimization just continued, you know, almost to this day, to be honest with you, you know, because, you know, all the violence that's all going on with the domestic violence in all communities.
Right.
Dave, let me tell you something, you know, I have spent quite enough time with Ron and Stephanie, and they are very warm people, they're nice people. They're people, you know, that wants the best for our community. She wants the best. She's raising, you know, Sade's two children right now, beautiful kids. And, you know, it's just, you know, I had breakfast with them yesterday morning. And every time I see her, you know, and Ron, it's just, I always ask myself, you know, what I go through,
right?
If I lost my children, and in any way, any fashion, but to the violence, but
right. No, you're running for sheriff. The Integrity Tour 2.0. What decided you to come back, man? It was just 2 years ago, first run.
Well, I don't think our mission was over yet. I think there's a lot of people who still wanted me to stay in it. We looked at the race last time. I'm not one person to blame others. I learned a lot from that race, but we feel that this was the time for us to make sure the right thing needs to be done. Somebody needs to rise up from the community and take care of business. And what business am I talking about? You know, the erosion of the relationship between law enforcement and the community. We just seen that, Paul. We're seeing that's going on around the country, everywhere. The high crime, violent crime Okay, you know, you just saw a video and your viewers just saw it. I met this morning with Michael Lockley, you know, former, you know, NFL star, and it was with his father, you know, great guy, man, the great family, telling me, you know, something needs to be done with this crime that's going on. You know, I mean, look, being a sheriff is not just public safety, okay? Mm-hmm. Even though that's your core mission. So when you describe, say, hey, what is your job? Public safety. But I would say, but you know what it takes for public safety? It takes for me to be engaged with the community so they can help me, okay? Because we have two rivalry. I'm just going to call it out. I'm not going to pull any punches. We have two rapper gangs who are going at it with each other, okay, in Pine Hills, all right? Everybody knows who they are,
right?
And right now, it's retaliation after retaliation after retaliation, okay? These are young guys who got their hands on money, on drugs, and guns. And unfortunately, we lost Dexter Rents, okay, a rising star in football, had a 4.0 GPA going to the University of Louisville. Yeah. And when I talk about community engagement, you know, we need to be able to reach out to them to that way that the community can talk to us. That's number one, to let us know about this crime that's going on. Because these people committed crimes without any fear of being caught. You saw the kid. I don't know how old the kid is, but he was a kid to me, hanging out of the car and shooting. He just shot a 14-year-old. And that 14-year-old that got shot and just got killed, he wasn't the intended target. It was a stray bullet. These kids are just shooting it. They're not listening to the parents. They're not listening to the police. They're not listening to the pastors. So who are they going to listen to? All right. You know, I have a plan to work on that. And we got to stop it. You know, too many young kids losing their lives off of stupid stuff.
Well, you call your campaign the Integrity Tour. Why that?
Because that's what's lacking in the leadership of law enforcement. Okay. You know, the transparency, the credibility is being questioned. All right. Integrity is not earned overnight. Okay. You can't buy it. You can't buy your way into integrity. It's not earned in a month. It's a life. How have you lived your life? I have lived my life with a high level of integrity. Okay. An impeccable record. In order for people to follow you, as a sheriff, you got to have some special skill sets in leadership, because you're leading the community and you're leading the Orange County Sheriff's deputies who are going to carry out your vision, okay, to bring this community together, to bring crime down, to develop the relationships. If you don't have that with your deputies, then your vision will not be accomplished. You know, you got some candidates out there, all these feel-good words and all these things they're going to do, but they're forgetting about the people who are going to do what? Carry out your vision. Okay, that's what leadership is all about. Okay, getting things done through people. Because Joe Lopez cannot do it by himself. I need the community, right. I need the deputies, I need everybody involved. So when I talk about integrity, you know, one thing in leadership is you try to get a report card on how you're doing, right? In leadership. And you gotta ask the blunt question. You ask to the people that you lead, how am I doing? You know, it's like an informal survey. How am I doing? Right. And I tell anybody that I teach leadership, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask. Okay. Don't ask. If you can't handle the truth, don't ask. Okay. Right. You know, you got to have thick skin. You know, tell me, you know, don't, you know, you heard the cliche that the emperor wears no clothes. Don't tell me the obvious. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. And same thing. That's not what the community is going to hear from me. The community is going to hear what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. None of this feel good words. Hey, listen, if we mess up, Joe Lopez will be right in front of stage in center and say, hey, you know, we messed up. But you know what? It's not acceptable. You know what? This is what we're going to do to fix it. This is how long it's going to take us. And this is what we're going to do. Because leaders are what? Responsible for all failures and successes, okay?
Right.
When your people fail, guess what? The leader fails. Mm-hmm. And you don't blame and you don't punt back to them and say, well, look at them, it's their fault or whatever. You're the leader. You set the culture. You set the tone. If they don't respect you, guess what? you got a problem.
Got a problem. Is there enough money to do what you really want to do? Does the office need more resources?
That's an excellent question. Look, this is what we know. Yes, we of course we need more money, but this is what's going to happen. We have 1,500 people moving to Orange County every week. All right, and with 15 people moving to Orange County, you know, they're buying property. So you got the tax base. I know we're going to COVID-19 and stuff like that, and there's not so much of the tax base coming in, but people are moving in. But what I want to do first is I want to conduct a forensic audit from top to bottom to make sure that if there's any waste. You know, when you got a department the size of Orange County Sheriff's Office, just like the Florida Highway Patrol, whenever the bigger the department is, there's waste. There's waste somewhere. So you go through these exercises, 10%, 15%, 25% reduction. Find out where the waste is at. Conduct these audits to see if we can save money in different areas and reallocate it into different programs within the Orange County Sheriff's Office. So that's how we're going to start first. And then from there, we'll go in and see what we're going to need down the road. One thing we know, PA, is because of the people moving to Orange County, a lot of people, the population is growing, and they're moving out west, and they're moving out east, Horizons West, and even out here east, and they're building. What does that mean? That means calls for service. And when there's calls for service, that means that the bigger the population and the bigger the demographics of the area, that means calls can go on hold. We can't afford that. We can't afford a grandmother picking up the phone and saying that somebody is in my house, okay, with a gun, and she's still waiting on hold for somebody to get to. We can't have that. We can't afford that.
Exactly. Look,
yeah, we still got that 56-year-old grandmother, young grandmother, and I think it was off of Ivy Lane, who was riding her bicycle in her neighborhood. To this day,
yeah,
haven't found the murderer. Okay, that's what is that? Okay, she wasn't selling drugs. She was riding her bicycle, killed, right. And they still haven't. So, you know, we can't have that. So, you know, I know people are very, very sensitive about, you know, defunding and reallocating money, but we got to be very concerned before we throw the bathwater out with the baby. Okay, I should say the baby out with the bathwater. We got to be very careful, and we have to be very frugal, but we also have to be smart and great custodians of the taxpayers' money.
Wow. We're live on 98.5 The Wire, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Joe Lopez, no stranger to 98.5 The Wire. I've been rocking with us for a while. We're talking about his run for sheriff. We got 7 days in a wake-up, we call it. 7 days in a wake-up, and then election day. Early voting is going on right now. How do you feel? How do you feel about your chances?
Oh, every day we're getting positive news. A lot of people reaching at us. I'm getting new phone calls. Look, even sitting here, somebody sent me a Facebook private message saying, hey, what can I do to volunteer to be on your campaign? And that's every day. Okay. The amount of people reaching out to us, telling us, what can I do to help you pass out signs? Hey, what area are you going to be today so I can go and wave signs? so it's every day we feel really good about it. We were on a corner with one of the opponents yesterday at a busy poll location, waving signs, and they were out there with their people. And the minute we got there, you know, our entourage got there. I mean, the horns were just, it wouldn't stop beeping. Everybody was beeping and waving, and oh, it was great. People coming by with train horns and stuff like that. So it was a good feeling. It was a good feeling. We were really good about it.
You know, a lot of conversation lately has been about those citizen review boards. And I know the sheriff has a citizen review board. Will you vote? Will you give that citizen review board more teeth, like subpoena power, or some kind of authority to make some kind of decision?
So, PA, that question has come up a lot. So the sheriff right now does not have a citizen's review board. What he has, he calls the citizen advisory board. That board has been defunct for the most of the time. They only start getting together, I think, we're in August. I mean, they only start getting together probably towards the end of last year. They didn't do too much. And basically, they use that board. I mean, most of the time they met in the beginning was to select leaders. So what they have is a citizen advisory board. Okay. So what's happened is in 2009, when Sheriff Demings was the sheriff, the board tried to subpoena in the sheriff's office, tried to subpoena deputies to come to the board to be interviewed or to testify. So what happened was there was a lawsuit about that. In the end run, Jerry Demings won. The sheriff's office, Jerry Demings won. The Florida Supreme Court, the highest court in the state of Florida, ruled in the favor of the sheriff and Orange County Sheriff's Office that it was unconstitutional. They didn't have the powers to subpoena deputies. Okay. So we can't subpoena deputies. All right. There's already a case law on that. What I'm proposing is a citizens appeals board. And what the citizens want is they want the things to be done in open forum. They want transparency. They don't want things done, you know, behind the scenes in dark rooms. So the citizens appeal board is a board. If a citizen, if you filed a complaint against Joe Lopez, PA, and they did an investigation on me, okay, of course, of a serious one that could mean, you know, serious policy violation, excessive use of force, whatever it may be, and the results, the findings come back that I wasn't guilty or I'm not going to get any punishment, or they do come back sustained and the punishment was less of a punishment that you felt that needed more to be more severely, you can appeal that. So you can appeal that. There'll be an appeal process. They look at it. They look at the investigation to make sure the investigation was conducted properly. And people say, well, how do you know the investigation was conducted properly? Well, first of all, we got to make sure we have the people who know how to read reports and know how to do investigations, because, you know, just Mr. Joe Smith off the street may not know how an investigation is conducted properly. So, for example, you look at a report, you got to make sure that all names that have been named in the investigation as a potential witness, that they are all interviewed. Okay. And if they bring up other more names, that they are all interviewed. Okay. Because that's important. So if the investigation is valid that this person did something wrong, okay, and he's only getting a counseling letter, then the board can come up with a more severe. There'll be guidelines. You just can't pull it out from thin air and say, no, he should be fired. No, you can't have that. There are just like, it's almost like going to court. You got sentencing guidelines. Okay. You sentence to somebody, whatever, and you go down the chart. It's the same thing when it comes to discipline. But the most important thing, if anything else, is got to make sure that is what it is done equitable and fairly. Okay. Because if you got somebody who's a friend of the sheriff or the chief, whatever, you know, he may not get the severe discipline, you know, than somebody who happens to be of minority. Okay. A person of color. And he got a severe discipline. Okay. And they said, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? So that's what I want to propose as citizens appeal board and to be conducted openly.
Wow. Sheriff Meaner did not get the endorsement of the police association, the union. Are they supporting you?
So it was he had their endorsement.
Right.
He had it for the last election and he had it for this election. They took it back from him. Okay. They took the endorsement. They rescinded the endorsement. Okay. No, they did not endorse me. They didn't endorse anybody else. That was expected. We didn't expect them to endorse anybody else. And I'm to be honest with you, I was looking for their endorsement. I'm not looking for any endorsements to anybody that I have to owe something to. If you can see, I'm basically the only person that's got endorsements from basically the community. Stephanie Daniels, at the video that you just showed, I have her endorsement. Okay. I have the endorsement of Rafael Zavadar, whose son was executed. Okay. He was executed in a home invasion because he was a witness. I have his endorsement. Janet Porras, who lost her daughter in a drive-by shooting. She was an innocent person inside of a car on Cimarron last year. She was killed. I have her endorsement. And then everybody knows that I have the endorsement of Kevin Berry, who is the one who brought Midnight Basketball into some of these areas in Pine Hills and South Apopka.
Right, right. Let's go back to the Sade Dixon case. What did the sheriff department do wrong, or what did the city of Orlando police department do wrong?
Okay, so first of all, let's start with when this happened. Okay, when this happened, they did not put all their efforts and resources, OPD. They didn't put all their efforts and resources in trying to track this down. Stephanie, okay, and she's not the only one that said this, but Stephanie has shared information where they could find Marquis Lloyd. I have talked to many people in the African-American community, and they also have told me that they have forwarded that information. And it's like everybody knew where he was, like they were afraid of him or something. As a matter of fact, I believe he he worked at the Maryland's Fried Chicken place right across the street from OPD. Okay, that's why some of the people there, worked there, were arrested, because they were harboring him. They were assisting his escape. That's number one, okay? Number two, you have, I also heard that the Orange County Sheriff's Office had information, okay, in some of the, in the leadership, and they did not react to it. Until when? Until, unfortunately, yeah, Tenant Deborah Clayton was killed at the Walmart, okay, when he saw him. And that's when they started picking up and going after this guy, when they should have been actively looking for this guy. He was in the community the whole time. I have involved for many years. And when they usually don't hang out in the same community.
Yeah, I was shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. For 2 weeks he was hiding in the community. So that's the number one thing. To prevent her death, you know, I have to find out more about that. But the bottom line, it was domestic violence. Okay, that's what it all comes down to. Okay, it's domestic violence. And I have a program that I want to introduce to domestic violence. But that was the main problem, is that they didn't follow up on the leads like they were supposed to. And that was the main thing. And this poor family, both families, you know, had to be traumatized again. And right, and then the family of Lieutenant Deborah Clayton, you know. And Chief Mina was the chief of police at the time when this occurred. Okay, yep. So Texas Fried Chicken, not Maryland. Texas Fried Chicken.
It is a Maryland Fried Chicken, though. It's one in a Popka. I know about that, too.
Okay, so, me too. Yeah, right. Just so, different location.
That's okay. Now, so you put this at the doorstep of Chief Mina at the time. Who was chief at the time?
Yeah, he was the chief. Yeah, he's responsible. He's the chief. You know, we are responsible as the chief executive officer of law enforcement. We are responsible for all successes and all failures. Absolutely. Yep.
Wow. How would your relationship be with the Black community if elected?
Well, I have been working very hard in the Black community for the last 2.5 years. I think it's very important that being a leader of a law enforcement agency, like I mentioned earlier, you're also going to be leading the community. So you got to build equity with both within the community and the law enforcement. Okay. And I've started to build those relationships and to build the equity with them for the last 2.5 years. So instead of me starting on day one, I've been doing it in the community, participating on marches and walks, listening to them without a badge and without a gun. I understand the barriers that exist when you're in uniform and you got a badge, you got a gun. People don't feel so comfortable in expressing themselves. People don't feel so comfortable in being open about themselves. People just don't feel comfortable about being themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing, is being out there in the community, trying to meet those people. Like the Stop the Violence March that I do every year for the last 3 years, right, with Trinice Brown and Amir Davis.
Yeah.
When I walk with them, I'm also walking with parents who've lost their children to murder. And I'm listening to their stories. And I can't believe what I'm hearing. And the main thing that I'm hearing, what's disturbing, people say, well, what is it you're hearing? That has nothing to do with graphics. It has a lot to do with, there is no closure. There is no resolution. There is no end of the story. My son has been killed. They don't tell me nothing. We don't know where they at with the investigation. There is no victim advocacy at all whatsoever. Okay. You know, I don't know what that is. I don't understand that. Okay. I come from an agency where when we work traffic homicide, we are obligated. We are expected to inform and update the families. If you don't, you're in trouble. I have seen many cases where the investigator doesn't do it or the victim advocate doesn't provide any information. But, you know, a case, you know, if a case is going cold, why is it going cold? Okay. I do understand that some people, some members in the community don't want to cooperate. They don't want to talk. And why is that? We heard it from many people's mouth because the community doesn't trust law enforcement.
Don't trust law enforcement. WHPB LP 98.5 Pine Hills, Orlando. We're live on Facebook and live on radio with Joe Lopez running for sheriff. Early voting is going on right now. You can vote all over the county, all over Orange County. We got to have your ID in. How is turnout? How is voter turnout so far?
All right. So I was waiting for the latest numbers coming out. When it comes to early election voter turnout, the numbers are down about 3,000. Okay. When it, the same time as 2018 compared to 2018. Now, this is a big kicker. Vote by mail is up by double. In 2018, vote by mail was at 18,000. 18,000 for the whole 2 weeks. We're up now, I think, at 38,000.
Wow. Wow.
Not counting today, not counting Saturday, not counting Sunday. So I'm waiting for those numbers to come out. They said that 200,000 ballots, 200,000 ballots, mail-in ballots have been requested for the primary. And I believe it was 80,000 in 2018, I think.
18. Wow. Yeah. This question is from Jay. Under the leadership of the last two sheriffs, Pine Hills has been singled out for initiatives like Operation Ceasefire and Operation Rise. With violent crime on the rise across the county, how do you ensure that we don't see over-policing in certain zip codes while promoting public safety across the board? Let me explain. My good sister, I'll call her the mayor for Pine Hills, Sandra Fatme, was livid when they came out with Operation Ceasefire. She was like, Operation Ceasefire, what are we, a war zone over here in Pine Hills? Crime was down. Why do we have an Operation Ceasefire? Why are we getting tagged with these war-type titles? Your response.
You know, I don't, I know Sandra. Sandra is an anchor of the community, icon, I should say. She's very for the community. See, here's a good example. Ceasefire, that was a program that's initiated from, I'm not sure if it was the sheriff's office or from county government, okay? Because everybody I talked to, they said that was a waste of time. So I can go on the community and I can tell them what I want to do, but if it doesn't resonate with them, where was the discussions before that started? Did anybody have any talks or any town halls with anybody? No. So over-policing is a problem because we don't want people in there who are solely engaging in the negative contact with the citizens of Pine Hills. Okay, let's just talk about Pine Hills because there's 70,000 people in there. So Pine Hills, we don't want to criminalize the whole community. We're only going after the people who are real hard, violent criminals who prey on our community, who are repeat offenders. These people who commit, okay, there's 20% of the repeat offenders commit 80% of the violent crime, okay? And I know there's people going to be out there, oh, there they go again, not giving the guy a break. Now, I ain't talking about the guy who's smoking marijuana, okay? I'm not talking about the guy who's shoplifting. I'm talking about the guy who killed that 14-year-old kid 2 days ago, okay, when he was hanging out the window and shooting people. That kid, I guarantee you, has probably got a violent past. I don't think anybody wants to see that guy get a break because I talked to some people today and they're tired of seeing that. The parents, the mothers who have lost their child, who can't let their children go out and play on the corner because there's drug dealers going on. So we have to be very careful. We have to make sure that our Orange County Sheriff's Office reflects the community. So one of these programs that I want to initiate is called it's about street work, street workers. Okay. And what they are is it's a group violence intervention. PA, here's the problem. These gangs, these rappers, whatever you want to call them, okay, whatever title you want to call them, I just want to make sure that people know what I'm talking about, that's got all this shooting going on, right? So these guys are shooting each other, killing each other in retaliation, okay? And they're not listening to their parents. They're not listening to the pastors, right? They're not listening to the police. They're not listening to their teachers, okay? So we need to have people who they will listen to. And you know who they're going to listen to? They'll listen to the people who have walked in their path. People who have reformed themselves, okay? Organizations who recruit these type of people to go into the community and to talk to these kids, and that way they can relate to them and says, I've been down this road. I know what you're going through. There is no positive result in this type of life. You're either going to get killed or you're going to go to jail, you know? And that's what I want to bring aboard, so forth, and be cautious about the over-policing. But we need to have more positive police engagement and interaction, even when nothing is going on. Get out of the car, hang on the street, and talk to these guys. You're on mute.
There you go. There you go. Sorry about that. We got a question from online, from Facebook Live. Derek Le Capre. Has a question. What's the difference between your leadership and John Meaner's leadership?
Effective leadership and integrity. John lacks integrity, like I had mentioned before. he continues to be ingenuous. But I'm going to give you an example. People say, oh, you know, you say that. Give us an example. Okay. I'm going to give you one example. So what does he say? You know, you mentioned earlier he lost the FOP endorsement. Okay?
Right.
And he, you know what his response is? Well, they're upset because I'm strong on discipline. You know, they're upset because I hold people accountable. You know, and so forth. They're upset. And for excessive use of force. Well, yeah, John. Well, why didn't you do that when you were at OPD? What happened to Jonathan Mills, who's still employed here with OPD? Who's had 16 complaints against him, and I believe two or three of them for excessive use of force, and one of them using racial terms. And they paid out, I believe, $3.2 million, okay, because of this guy, and he's still employed. And you're ready for this? He got Officer of the Year in 2018 under Chief Mina, his last year as the chief of OPD. And he had been disciplined a year prior to that. And you know what he got Officer of the Year for? Are you ready for this?
What was it?
Making the most arrests. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's an award.
Yeah. So yeah. So we know it's in public record. We know that this officer, okay, has made false arrests, got the complaints come in. Okay. They were sustained. We know he's done excessive use of force. So what does John Mina say? Oh, because I am heavy-handed. I'm disciplined on a deputy. Really, John? No. The reason why. Hold on a second. Let me tell my.
<It's okay>.
dogs.
That's security yeah, right there.
they don't like when I mention that name. So.
Right. Everybody go to fight. Right.
Oh yeah!
Oh, but that's funny. Go ahead, Joe.
So here's what happens. Okay, so he's doing all this now. He's telling everybody this is how disingenuous he is, because he's up for re-election. So he's doing it to score political points. It's political expediency. Okay, that's why he's doing it. But why didn't he do? I mean, I can go on and on, but I don't want to, you know, everybody, but. There's a lot more over there at OPD, okay, that he let go and the people still working. You know, body-worn cameras. He says, everybody, we wear a body-worn camera, all right?
Right.
Well, we've already know that that there was an incident where a man, a Hispanic male for shoplifting, was killed at the Florida, by the Florida Mall. And one of them didn't have a camera and the other camera was malfunctioning.
Wow.
You know, I mean, everybody supposed to have a camera. They didn't have a, one of them didn't have a camera.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, you see a black suspect, okay? Here's two white police officers chasing a black suspect. The cameras go off. Next thing you know, you see him, he's handcuffed and he's bleeding. And there's nobody, oh, the camera was having malfunction. Really?
Really? Wow.
There's several of those things. So when he says, yeah, if you're not wearing your camera, because when did you become holy and mighty? Okay. You know, all of a sudden, when did you just change? Okay. You know what they say about a leopard, right?
Right.
Leopard doesn't change, doesn't lose his spots.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So
we got another question from Derek. The morale is low at the Orange County Sheriff's Office. How will you bring up the morale of the Sheriff's Office and the community? Both are lacking.
Yeah. So, of course, the morale of the Orange County Sheriff's Office is low because why? Because the sheriff has used them as scapegoats. Okay. They don't trust him. Even when they are within policy, the deputies don't trust him. The community doesn't trust him. If you ask me, it's time for him to go. If they can't be trusted. They took a vote. I'm sure you heard about it. 77% of the deputies says no confidence. They don't trust him. So it's time for him to go. So we have to build those relationships up. When I talked about earlier about building equity, the deputy's going to have to know that I am there with them to back them up when they're in the right. If they do right, I will back them up. They're also going to know something else too. I have a strong background in internal affairs when I was a chief of investigations of the Florida Highway Patrol. Unfortunately, I've had to put some troopers in jail for violating the people's trust. Okay? So, hey, they're going to understand if you do wrong, okay, and you commit crimes, you will be held accountable. All right? That's it.
Right.
Of course, some people make minor mistakes. I get that. You know, we're human. But I'm talking about the ones who go out there and who plan these things, plan these nefarious acts.
Right.
The community, can I get back into the community? I can't do it by myself. I'm going to be recruiting ambassadors from the community, and that's what I'm going to call them, ambassadors from the community. Whether they be pastors, whether they be unofficial leaders in the community. Helping me bridge that gap. I can't do it by myself. I feel very strong in my skill set and working with people who are different from me. I'm willing to work with everybody, but I can't do it by myself. And that's what I'm hoping when I become the sheriff, that people see, hey, what I really, you know, it's enough. It's people can talk the talk, but it's time to walk that walk.
Wow. Here's another online question from the human resource expert, Melissa Myers. What are your plans for the youth in the community?
Excellent question. Today I met, like I told you, I met with Mike Lockery today. And, you know, we talked about some things and he has some concerns too about the youth. So what we need to do is to make sure, look, I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up in the inner city where my mom worked 2 to 3 jobs. And, you know, and me and my sister were left to basically to fend for ourselves. But I was involved a lot. I was an altar boy. I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout. I was a junior naval cadet. Our youth need things to do, okay? And there are no programs right now. The midnight basketball is gone. Police athletic league is not functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning. And there's a lot of people in some of these communities that just don't have the funds. The parents don't have the money to put them in after school programs. So what we need to do is to bring back things like Kevin Berry did, is the midnight basketball. One thing I want to bring back is the flag football. So, you know, you have the kids who want to participate in that. Look, there's two things that kids, that youth love and that bring it together, what they grab it to: sports and music. I've got commitments from coaches. I've gotten commitments from other celebrity people. I'm a member of the Central Florida NFL Alumni Association. I'm going to hopefully they work with me to be able to sponsor some of these programs. You know, because I'm just a face. They don't know who I am. The kids don't know who I am. But if they can see some of these celebrity faces and some of these programs and really do something, what I would love to see is some of these communities, you know, compete against each other, you know, like somebody right. Whether it be South Apopka versus, you know, Carver Shores, you know, whether it be in midnight basketball, it would be NFL. And here's another thing that I want to do. You know, I don't know about UPA because I know you're from Michigan.
Right.
But in the Bronx, I used to go to summer camp every year. Man, I used to have I looked forward to that every year, you know. Yeah. So I want to bring some summer camp for some of these kids and get and I'll give opportunities for other youths who are going to go to college or who are going to go to get community points, community credits, okay, in helping and volunteering for that.
There you go. Here's a question from Jay from Pine Hills Talk. After your election, will you reach out to the family of Cordelia Anthony and others in the community who has been victimized in the past by Orange County Sheriff Office deputies? We interviewed Cordelia Anthony, I think last year, and she felt like the Sheriff Department has not been transparent, didn't care about the death of her son.
Yeah, so that's a good example. I haven't had a chance to meet with Cordelia. I've been wanting to, but yeah, her son, just in case people who don't know, her son drowned. It was mysteriously in a canal. Something was very weird. He was involved with some police activity, and there is no closure for her. And they need to find out. And that's now it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, these parents of the children they lost, they don't have any closure. So we have to make sure to answer Jay's question, yes, I will be reaching out to her. That's yes, of course, absolutely, to find out what are the unanswered questions. And if we happen to open up that case, we have to take a look at it. I think we're going on 2 years since his death, I believe, right? Yes. 2 years. And you know what? That's too long for a grieving mother not to get some closure.
Right. Say hello to Al Washington. He is watching or listening in Altamont Springs. Before we go, are you looking for volunteers to help you out on election day?
Yes, please. Always looking for volunteers. The volunteers that we're looking for are A, to help us put out some yard signs at the poll locations early in the morning or late the night before. Or we're looking for volunteers to hold signs. You don't have to be there all day. You know, just be there a couple hours in the morning and then, you know, a couple hours in the afternoon to hold signs in the areas where you live. Okay. We're not going to make you go travel across town and just promote Joe Lopez for Orange County Sheriff.
There you go. Joe, man, I got to tell you this personally. I enjoyed our conversation. We have talked so many times in the last couple of years. I really believe your heart is there. And I don't know what's going to happen next week, Tuesday, but I know of all the candidates, I think I've been around you the most. You know, we have talked the most. We have talked not just about political issues. I really can say that you believe that you care about this community. And I wish you success. Do you consider yourself an insider or outsider?
Oh, I'm an outsider. You know, an insider is the people that the establishment pushes for. I don't want the establishment. I am anti-corruption. This is a corrupt town. That's right. You heard it from Joe Lopez. This is a corrupt town, and the establishment has a hold on these politicians, and they don't want me to be sheriff. They're afraid of me to being sheriff because I am a outsider.
Jay has a question. He said, what's going on with the yard signs that's going on missing? We saw the video, people taking down yard signs. Is that a crime or what?
Yes, it's a crime. But I'm gonna put a positive spin on this. Hey, these are just people that just want to take home a souvenir because they want and tell people that I got the sign of the sheriff in my house. Yeah, man. They're out there. We're working hard, man, to put these signs up. The poor volunteers who keep putting them up, but they don't stop. It motivates them. You know, say, oh, we're going to show it to them. We're going to show strength and resilience, and we're going to put it back up. So
where are you at election night, man? Where's the party at?
Hey, that's a secret, man. It's gonna be on the east side of town. But you're invited to come.
Thanks, man.
As long as you're not gonna be in Michigan, are you?
No, I'll be in Florida. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'm here.
It's gonna be outside of town, and Jay's invited, and he can come. And it's gonna be, if I tell him here on the air, man, everybody's gonna show up.
I know. No.
I mean, I don't mind, but there won't be enough food for everybody.
Right. All right, Joe. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today for this candid conversation with Joe Lopez. It's been real, man. Much success and much love to you, man. Okay.
Thanks, P.I. I appreciate it. You stay safe and have a good evening, okay?
All right. Take care. Take care. Okay. All right. All right, family. Going back to more programming, you've been listening to the simulcast of Facebook Live interview and radio interview with Joe Lopez for Sheriff. Back to my music. This afternoon, Jams 98.5.